Titus chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 9 verses of this chapter of the Word of God this evening. Titus chapter 1, commencing to read at verse number 1. This is the Word of God. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Saviour. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Saviour. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot nor unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Amen. We will end our reading there at the verse number 9. And we trust the Lord will bless this public reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake and glory. Amen. We're just going to bow in prayer before we come to God's precious word this evening. Let us all pray and ask for the Lord's help this evening. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we continue on in thy presence, and we thank you, Lord, that we have been able to sing that lovely hymn, O Christ in thee, my soul hath found, and found in thee alone. And truly, Lord, as children of God tonight, we can say, now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There is love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And Lord, as we come to thy precious word, we thank you for the reading of it. And we just ask and pray now, Lord, as we come to this vital and important aspect of our meeting tonight, that we would know, Lord, thy Spirit speaking to us through thy word. I pray, O God, that every distracting thought would be removed from our minds for this time, which is not convenient. And we just pray that we would be closed in with thyself. Lord, I pray and ask for thy help to bring thy word tonight. I need thy help. I have no ability in and of myself. And I pray, O God, that you would hide me far behind the cross. May in all things Christ have the preeminence, I pray. And may be as thus and thus saith the Lord this evening. For it's in the Saviour's precious name I humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. As I was thinking about this meeting tonight, and as I was doing my readings, I don't know if you're following along with Robert Murray McShane's Bible readings or his Bible reading plan, but that's what I'm using this year. And last week I read through the book of Titus, and some of these verses here in this chapter stood out to me. And as I was thinking about yourselves here in Mourne, well, I felt that the Lord would have me to speak upon a few verses from this chapter this evening. I trust and pray it'll be an encouragement and a blessing to each and every one of your hearts. The Apostle Paul here is writing to young Titus, his son in the faith, as he describes him here in verse 4. He says, mine own son after the common faith. And Paul is writing to Titus, for Titus had been left in Crete to be the pastor of the church there in Crete. Now, Crete was a large Mediterranean island south of mainland Greece. And unfortunately, at that time, false teachers had come in and sought to cause division. Some of them had sought to cause division by teaching Jewish legalism, and there was other philosophical notions as well. So these men try to come in and take the people away from the Word of God. And what Paul is doing here to Timothy, or saying to Titus here, I should say, in this chapter, he is writing to exhort him about the importance of church elders. Now, I know that you in Mourne are seeking after a teaching elder, and when we come to some of these verses, you will see here that Paul is speaking in the singular. And in my study Bible, it says here, qualifications of ministers. So I trust and pray that even what we think upon tonight will be an encouragement and something for you to pray about as you continue to seek the Lord for a minister in the time ahead. And so as I read these verses, I felt that this is what the Lord would have me to speak upon. So for a few moments this evening, I want us to think about the importance of church elders. The importance of church elders. And the first thought I want to leave with you this evening is that God these men were to be appointed by God to govern the church. They were to be appointed by God to govern the church. Now, as I said, Paul is writing to Titus here in this chapter, and he tells him about the importance of ordaining elders to look after the work of God in the churches there in Crete. Now, that is important because, as I said in my opening remarks, there was false teachers that had came in to the churches, and they sought to take the people away from the truth of God's word. And the elders in your congregation, they're not here to rule over you and beat you with a big stick or anything like that, but they are here to watch over your souls. They are to be overseers of the flock. They are to look out for your spiritual needs. The elders look after the spiritual needs of a congregation. And these are men of God who are seeking to keep the church following after the word of God, so that the word of God will be foremost in every service in the house of God. While these men had come into the church at Crete to try to take the people away from the word of God, that was because there was no elders at that time. And so this is why Paul, he had to depart, but he wrote to Titus to tell him to have elders ordained to look after the spiritual needs of the congregation. Now, the church does not belong to the elders. Now, the church does not belong to any man, but the church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. As it tells us there in Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 25, "For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." You see, we are the bride of Christ. We are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And no matter what part of the country we are in, no matter what part of the world we may be in, or church tonight, if we're saved by grace, we're all in the family and the fold of God. And we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ because he has purchased us with his precious blood. As it tells us there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "For ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." And so, since we belong to Jesus, since he has purchased us with his precious blood, we belong to him. Think of the words of that lovely hymn, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity." And here, Paul, in writing to Titus, in getting him to seek to appoint elders to look after the needs of the congregation, he tells him to appoint or to ordain men into this office of an elder. Now, Titus was set in order things that are wanting. In other words, he was to straighten these matters out in the church. Paul was not a man who liked to leave things undone, but he had to depart, and so he leaves this task with Titus. So this task would be completed, this task would be brought to fruition, and that the church would have those godly men in leadership looking after the spiritual needs of the congregation. Now, this was not something new, but if you turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, please. And in the book of Philippians, I want to read just one verse there. It is the verse number 6. And Paul says there in Philippians chapter 1, perhaps I've written down the wrong verse. Yes, I think I have written down the wrong verse. But then there's another verse there you could turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians 5. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, I trust I've written down the right verse this time, is the verse 25. Nope, sorry, I haven't again written down the wrong verse. But what Paul is saying here, he's looking Timothy to, or Titus to appoint these men to the office of an elder. Now that was simply somebody who was an overseer. It wasn't somebody who was closer to the Lord in regards to justification, because every child of God is viewed the same through the eyes of the Lord. But he wants Titus here to organize these converts into a regular church state. And he was to instruct them in the doctrines of Scripture, to introduce church discipline, to work on their manners, and also to direct them in regards to matters of faith and practice. Now, in Acts chapter 14 and the verse 23, and I know this is the right reference because I have the reference just typed out as well, just to keep myself right, but in Acts chapter 14 and the verse 23, it says there, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." So elders being ordained to look after the spiritual needs of the congregation was something right from the very outset of the New Testament church. And this was something which continued on. And we see that as Presbyterians and Free Presbyterians tonight, we believe in the Presbyterian form of government, where we are governed by the session of the church and then our presbytery, which we believe to be founded upon Scripture. And this is why we see the beauty of having elders, those who have been appointed by God to look after the congregation, to look out for any error or any false doctrine which may try to come in. And these men who are men of God, men of the Holy Spirit, are to be there to look out. As I say, they're not here to, as it were, make you follow rules. And I fear that's why some people perhaps don't become members of their church, because they don't want to be under subjection. Well, you know, being under subjection is a blessed thing, because they're only looking out for the spiritual needs of your soul. And this is something I have learned more and appreciated more as we have been going through some classes in college. Currently in pastoral theology, we're going through the book of Church Order. And I can see more and more now the reason why we have elders, why we have a presbytery, why we are also, why all ministers and elders are subject to one another. It is for that accountability and to keep ourselves right. And, you know, we've seen in recent days where churches who don't have such structures in place like we have got into trouble. And it's nearly as if there's a cover-up going on. And you don't need me to say any more about that. But this is the beauty of having godly men in authority, godly men who look after the spiritual needs of the congregation. And that's why you have elders. And that's why you are seeking after a teaching elder, someone who will come to be your pastor, someone to be your under-shepherd, someone to bring the word of God to your heart, someone to visit you in your home and to encourage you in the things of God. And these are blessings from the Lord. I know sometimes you may not think that, but these are truly blessings from the Lord, and in the wisdom and the providence of God, that he would have this to be the way it is, that he would appoint men to be in this position in the church. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5:17 that let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And so Titus was not in this position to put himself there, but it was down to the decree of Almighty God that Titus, he was nothing more than a sinner saved by grace, and that he would work for the Lord in this regard, and that he was appointed by the Lord to be the minister there, and he had been instructed in the Word of God. He was teaching the Word of God, and he needed men to come along and assist him, to support him. And that's what your elders do. They support your minister. They support the man who is the teaching elder and helping him to look after the congregation here. But I had to ask the question there, as we've seen that Titus was laboring for the Lord. We must ask the question of ourselves, am I working for the Lord where I am? Are you working for the Lord where the Lord has appointed you, dear believer? You see, Titus didn't appoint himself to this role, but he was appointed by the Lord. And we could say that was true of Paul as well. Paul didn't appoint himself to be the apostle to the Gentiles, but the Lord had appointed him. The Lord had saved him, redeemed him, and commissioned him, thrust him out to be a preacher of the Word of God. And we see that Paul, he didn't lord himself over the others. He wasn't like a bishop, we could perhaps term in an Episcopalian sense, where he was the top individual and everybody had to submit to what he says. No. And this is why we have elders for accountability, and the plurality is to share the burden of the work. It's a great burden to look after the spiritual needs of a congregation. And I trust that you continue to remember your elders in prayer before the throne of grace in prayer, that they would know wisdom and that they would know unity from the Lord to lead and to guide this congregation in the days that lie ahead. These officers were what the church required. These elders were what the Lord had desired and decreed for to be in place in the churches. And these men were to be charged with to be a spiritual ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ among the flock of God. And just as young people need correction and direction to do what's right, so the church needs guidance and direction from godly men, men who know the Word of God, men who love the Lord Jesus Christ and want to see the church grow, want to see the church mature and to go forward in the days that lie ahead. So as we noted this evening, how that these men were to be appointed by God to govern the church. On the other side, there was were there those to be appointed by God, but secondly, these men were to be anointed by God, the Holy Spirit, to set an example to the church. If you look with me there, back in Titus 2, the book of Titus 1 and the verse number 6. And it says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And here's a very good and important principle in this will come to the fore here, that we can do nothing without the Lord. And this is why he says here that these men, they must be blameless. They must be blameless. And we think of that word blameless. It means not to be charged of any wrongdoing. In other words, that there was not something bad that could be said against them. These men were to be above reproach. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us that. And we have here in verses 6 and 7 and 8 a number of things which we notice about the characteristics of what these men were to be. They were not only to be blameless, but if they were to be married, they were to be the husband of one wife. In other words, they were not to be those who were divorced and remarried, according to what God has laid down here in his word. And that's what I read in one of the commentators this afternoon as I read over this again. If you go with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ here, and he says in Matthew 19 verse 5, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And of course we know that the Lord is quoting there from Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 24, which is what the Lord had ordained at the very start of creation. But not only were they to be blameless and the husband of one wife if they were married, but if they had children, their children were to be faithful. And that word there speaks of being trustworthy. The office of an elder or teaching elder is a very serious and solemn one. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs faithful and committed people within its ranks to rise up and to step out for God. And that is why it's so important that we continue to pray and seek the Lord about this matter of even people who are committed. It appears that in these days in which we live, there's very little commitment to the things of God. And that's why I'm so delighted to see so many of you out here tonight in the place of prayer. Because you know that prayer changes things. You know that God hears and answers prayer. But yet there's many more empty pews. Let us pray that the Lord would burden more people even to come out to the place of prayer. You see, God has given to us His precious word. And His precious word is to be our only rule of faith and practice. That is how we are to grow and to mature as believers. That is how we will discern what is right and what is wrong, spiritually speaking. I'm told that whenever somebody starts in a bank, and when they are being trained in how to identify the correct money, well, they will get to know and to study the genuine thing. And then whenever a false note or a false coin is brought to their attention, well, they can spot it straight away. And how is that? Because they know what's the genuine thing in the first place. And that's why, brethren and sisters, we must continually, as believers, continually give ourselves to the study and meditation of the Word of God. You see, it is our spiritual breakfast, lunch and tea, as I heard Dr. Paisley say once before. And we must be continuing to feast upon the Word of God, continuing to grow and to mature by spending that time in the Word of God. These men were not to be riotous nor unruly. And that word on riotous there speaks of being consumed by being given to too much wine. And that certainly is a disqualifying mark for ministry. And to be unruly there, it speaks of or signifies to go off and to do his own thing. And an elder is not to be like that. He's not to be someone who seeks to go off and do his own thing. That's why every elder, every minister is accountable to each other in the presbytery. And this is something which ought not to be in any believer's life, I might say, especially those in leadership. But again, Paul here is reminding Titus that the teaching elder or the minister, as we noted there in verse 7, for he says a bishop must be blameless. Again, he's re-emphasizing there the need to be blameless. And again, as I said, he's using the singular bishop or overseer. That's what it simply means, somebody who is an overseer or an elder. They were to be someone who was blameless. Again, that nobody would have anything bad against them as regards to their testimony. These men also were not to be self-centered. Or in other words, they were not to be self-willed, as he says here in verse number 7. They were not to be pleasing or arrogant, taken up with themselves, but they were to be looking out for the needs of others. You see, that's why I said a few moments ago, an elder is to be looking out for the congregation, not just the needs of his own heart, but the needs of the flock under whom God has placed him to look after. He's not to be someone who's quarrelsome, or as that word is given in our Bible, not given to no striker. He's not to be someone who is seeking to start an argument or quarrelsome. He's not to be someone who's given to wine or given to alcohol here. He's not someone who's to be given to filthy lucre. And that simply means somebody who's an embezzler, seeking to pocket money for themselves. But as he says here, they are to be hospitable, but a lover of hospitality. Verse number 8 there. And that speaks of someone who is able and willing to befriend those who are in need, to assist those who have a spiritual or a physical need in whatever way they can seek to help them. Even getting alongside them and praying with them and reading the Word of God and bringing a little word to their hearts to encourage someone perhaps who's going through the mill or going through a difficult time. And this thought of hospitality drew my attention to the verse in Hebrews 13. And it says in Hebrews 13, verse 2, Paul writing to the Hebrews there, he says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." That's why whenever we see visitors at the church, we are delighted. And we want to make them feel that they're welcome in our midst. We want to be hospitable to everyone in the congregation and to visitors and friends as well. But he says here in verse 8 as well, these men were to be a lover of good men. And that simply means to love those things which are good. To love those things which are good in the sense of praying and preaching and the reading and meditating of the Word of God, but also in those religious exercises of good, godly Christians as well. But these men were also to be sober, as he says here in verse 8, clearly thinking of being self-controlled and not giving over to those things which would intoxicate the body. John Gill, the Bible commentator, said of that word, he said, "Moderation in diet, in dress, and in mind." That's fairly challenging to all of us, that we would have that moderation in those three things. But also Paul speaks here of someone who is just. In other words, he was to deal with others fairly and justly. He wasn't to use his God-given position and authority to use it in a way which was not fitting of his office, but to be fair, to listen to all whatever he had to hear before making a judgment. And why was he to be just and fairly? Because he had been justified. Every believer, and especially those in this office, they are justified. They are declared righteous in the sight of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were to be just men as well. But also there, Paul says here, to be holy. And the elder, the teaching elder, is to seek to live a life which is holy, to be totally devoted to the Lord. Brethren and sisters, let me say that that's something for all of us here tonight as believers. We are all to seek to be holy. As the Lord tells us in his word, he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You see, this world is a very godless and sinful world, as you well know. And if we are to be the believers that we ought to be for Christ, we ought to be those holy examples in our homes, in our workplaces, in our colleges, in our schools, wherever the Lord has placed us, that we would be those holy Christians. But also to be temperate, as he says there, holy and temperate at the end of verse number 8 there. And again, that speaks of self-control and discipline. In other words, he wasn't to fly off the handle whenever things didn't go his way. And whenever we think of all of these different characteristics which we have just skimmed through this evening for time, but these are also qualities and characteristics which ought to be found in the diaconate in the church as well, among the committee men as well. And there's so much teaching here from these verses for our thoughts tonight, but as I said, we're thinking specifically of the importance of elders. And as you continue to seek the Lord as a congregation for a teaching elder, a pastor, a minister, I pray that the Lord would continue to bless you and lead you and guide you to the right man of God's choosing. You see, all of us as believers here tonight, we are to, as Micah says in Micah 6, verse 8, we are to act justly, we are to love mercy, and we are to walk humbly with the Lord. So we thought first of all this evening how that these men were to be appointed by God to govern the church. Then we thought of how these men were to be anointed by God the Holy Spirit to set an example. And that is what all of us as believers are to be. We are to be examples to others, but especially these men in the place of authority. But lastly, we have here, they were to be instructed by God to build up the work of the church. They were to be instructed by God to build up the work of the church. And how were they to do that? Well, they were to do that by being a witness. By being a witness. You see, the teaching elder is to exhort and to convince those who contradict God's word by preaching and sharing the word of God with them. You see, Paul says here, says there in verse number 9, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You see, Titus had these men who were gainsayers. And that word simply means there that they were men who attacked the word of God. They criticized, they mocked the word of God. And surely it's no different today. We have those in society who want to mock and to laugh and scorn at the things of God. And are we to go shy away from declaring the word of God? Are we to depart from the word of God? Of course not. That is why Paul says that these men, they were to hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You see, we're to seek to win the lost for Christ. All of us as Christians. And especially the preacher. That's his desire as he labors in the word of God week by week, as he labors in the place of prayer. He wants to see fruit for his labor. He wants to see souls for his hire. And I know that's the heart's desire of the elders here in this congregation. And let us continue to pray to that end, brethren and sisters, that these gainsayers would be convinced, that they would be exhorted to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn there to the book of Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11. Is the verse number 14. And Paul says there, who shall teach, or who shall tell these words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? There he's speaking about the word of God. And how were these people to be saved? They had to hear the word of God. And then, of course, the Spirit of God would take of the word of God and use it to convict them of their sin. And that is why we ought to keep holding forth the word of life, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, that's the job of the preacher, is to hold forth the word of life, is to point away from himself and a point away from the church, but to point his hearers to the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is the Savior, he who is the Redeemer, he who is King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what the preacher wants to do. That's what the preacher desires to preach upon, the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus had many around him seeking to attack and undermine the word of God. And that's why these elders needed to be appointed to stand with him in the battle for truth, to stand with him and to contend for the faith, as Jude says, contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And that's a challenge to each and every one of our hearts today as believers. But not only were they to be a witness, but they were to be men of the word, men of God's word. The teaching elder, he is to preach the word of God to the people. He is not there to preach his own thoughts or his own opinions, but to declare as thus and thus saith the Lord. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, if you just turn back there a page, perhaps. If 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There Paul is writing to Timothy, and he is telling him, look, Timothy, I charge you to preach the word. And why did he do that? It is because of what he said in the next few verses, because there will be those who will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Don't we see that today in society? Men and women are turning away from the truth to their own spiritual destruction. But what was Timothy to do? Timothy was to preach the word. What was Titus to do? Titus was to stand firm, preach the word, and to have elders ordained to stand with them. You see, whenever a preacher comes and he doesn't preach the word, that verse in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 comes to mind. That's the test of what any preacher has to say, whether it's from the word of God or not. Because Isaiah 8 and 20 tells us, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We have no other word or message to declare. We have no other scriptures to present to individuals but the precious word of God. And as we have considered for a few moments this evening, brethren and sisters, the importance of church elders, I pray that we would, and you as a congregation, would continue to pray about this matter, that these men, and specifically this, the man who would stand here behind this sacred desk, that he would be appointed by God for this position, that he would be anointed with God the Holy Spirit to be an example to the church, and lastly, to be instructed himself by God to build up the work of the church. So to that end, brethren and sisters in Mourne, pray about these matters tonight. Pray that the Lord will send you a man of his choosing and his timing, and who fulfills all that we have been considering this evening. The Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake and glory. Amen. Just going to come now to our time of prayer, and as we get down to prayer, we can remember these matters. And in the will of the Lord, this coming Lord's Day, the students will be along. I'll just keep you in suspense on who will be coming to take the service. That'll be a little surprise for you. But you can pray for the students as they come this coming Lord's Day, and any other matters which the Lord lays upon your hearts. Any sick of the congregation or any of those in difficulties, let us bring them before the throne of grace in prayer. And let us pray that we would see the Lord move in this day and generation. Let us bow in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank you for thy precious word, and thank you, Lord, that it has been an instructive and challenging word to our hearts this evening. And we just pray about these matters, O God. We think, Lord, of the needs of this congregation, especially, Lord, with the needs of an under-shepherd. And we do thank you, Lord, for men who have labored in days gone past. We think of, Lord, thy servant, the interim moderator, the Reverend Henderson, that, Lord, you would continue to bless him and lead and guide him in the session of this congregation, Lord. And we just pray that congregation and the man of thy choosing will be led together, Lord, in thy timing, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord, you would remember the needs of a minister here and continue to bless the oversight here in the committee. We thank you, Lord, for every worker in this church. Thank you, Lord, for every department of this church, from the boys and girls in the Sabbath school and children's meetings to the senior citizens, Lord, as well. We just pray that you would bless every family and every friend connected with the church here. We pray for thy blessing upon the school, upon the staff, and upon the students. We do pray, dear God, that you would remember the deeds of our province at this time as we approach an election time. We just pray, O God, for thy will to be done. We pray, dear God, for our land as it is going further and further away from thee and from thy word. We just pray that, Lord, you would stir up the people of God. Lord, get us praying. Lord, may you come and revive our hearts personally. And then, Lord, you would come and revive our province. Lord, we pray that, Lord, we would be those Christians that are holy. And Lord, Christians who set an example to others. And Lord, we would be Christians who others would see the Lord Jesus Christ shining out of our lives. Lord, we do thank you for this time where we can seek thy face in prayer. Lord, I do pray that thou wouldst continue with us now. And Lord, help the next one to pray. And we just pray for a blessed time in thy presence. For us in the Saviour's precious name, I humbly ask and pray these things. Amen.